Well, RCMP are no longer releasing the names of people killed in car accidents or other serious cases, and that decision has sparked a decision about the value of those names being released. For more, I'm joined by Andrew Curiata, and he's with me in the Daybreak studio this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
So, first of all, tell me a bit about what's happened here.
Well, this was something noticed by one of our colleagues over in Halifax. Angela McIver is a reporter there, and in the summer months, unfortunately, deals with a lot of car crashes that result in fatalities. And this year, when she was following up on some of those stories, she was told that RCMP no longer released the name of victims, which is a change from what she's encountered in the past.
The way it's always worked in the last 10 years that I've been a journalist, RCMP would send out initial details of a fatality. It would always say something along the lines of the victim's identity is being withheld pending notification of family. Then a day or two later, either we would get a news release with the name of the victim or that the family has requested that the victim's name be withheld. So there was always that conversation between RCMP and family. Now it appears that conversation isn't happening.
So Angela contacted RCMP headquarters in Ottawa, and a spokesperson told her they are adhering to the Privacy Act.
And what does the Privacy Act say?
It's a piece of legislation that governs how the federal agencies deal with people's personal information. For example, what sort of information the federal government and its agencies can collect about people like you and I, and what information they can share. The RCMP is a federal agency, so it falls under the Privacy Act, so they wouldn't want to be giving out personal information that would violate these rules. Now, there are a few exceptions to these cases, such as when the information is already publicly available. For example, if there's a homicide in the name of a victim is released in court documents, that's already on the record. When disclosure is necessary to further an investigation, sometimes police will ask for people to come forward if they saw Mr. X the last time before he was found deceased. And then there's cases where public interest clearly outweighs any invasion of privacy. For example, a homicide case may fit into one of these exemptions if police were looking for the public's help in solving the case. So Angela did do some investigating, but she wasn't able to find any changes to the act that might have prompted any sort of policy change. And RCMP in Ottawa would not answer her questions about this. I personally reached out to RCMP here in BC as well. They emailed me to say they review each file on a case-by-case basis to find out what information can be released. And they believe it will be business as usual for them. Of course, here in BC, a little bit different. They work closely with the BC Coroner Service, who is often responsible for releasing names and things like car accidents or drownings. I did reach out to the Coroner Service to ask if anything would be changing in light of this news. They told me they will need some time to talk to RCMP before they can respond.
So I guess the question many people might be wondering about this morning, Andrew, okay, why does this matter?
Yeah, why do people even need to know the names of victims? I spoke with Lisa Taylor. She's a lawyer and journalism instructor at Ryerson University. One note, I did speak to her while she was at a train station in Montreal, so the sound quality, not as good as I would like, but she did have some interesting things to say about the value of making this sort of information public.
Society benefits from as complete a picture of any incident that leads to death, whether that is accidental or whether that is at the hands of another, more information is always better. I can't help but think that that is the default condition.
And if you got that, more information is always better. She believes that should be the default position. She used the court system as an example. It might be easier for a lot of people if courtrooms were always closed and only the lawyers and the people involved were able to find out what was going on. But the default position in Canada is that it'd be an open courtroom, and that's so that justice can be served and seen to be served. One thing I should mention to Lisa, though, is that she believes if reporters find out the name of a victim and they decide they want to contact family or friends, that if they get any indication that those people do not want to talk to media, that reporters should respectfully back off. And they should approach us as respectfully as possible, which is, of course, I think something that most journalists try to do all the time.
All right, so that's an expert perspective on what's going on. But what about for, you know, folks who listen this morning, the general public? What's your sense of how they feel about this?
Well, I mean, of course, it's very unscientific, but I did what we like to do and head outside to just find out what people in the streets think. I went over to the plaza in downtown Prince George yesterday where a free concert was taking place, and I asked a couple of ladies there for their thoughts.
I don't know. Like, for me, if it was a family member of mine, I would know, so I wouldn't need to hear it on the news. So I think it's a good thing to not have it on the news, actually.
Yeah, to give some sort of closure to the family, like they need to get in contact with family members.
We should be able to hear from our family members instead of the media.
And those are just a couple of voices, but I spoke to a few other people, and they said very much the same thing is, why does the general public need to hear these names blasted, especially if it might contribute to the mourning that people who did know the victims are already going through. Of course, these people are dealing with it hypothetically, but there are people who have lost loved ones in real life, and they have opinions on this as well. Marianne McIntyre lost two of her four sons in a car crash, and their names were released by police, and this was done with her permission.
I was so glad they did release their names because they had an identity, and people realized who they were, and like it showed to people, like I said, we had people from all over the country send us cards of condolences, and but also saying like they can't even imagine how we feel, and but they prayed for us, and they felt our hurt, and it wouldn't have happened if they'd just be a statistic, really.
Marianne says she feels strongly that RCMP should give families the opportunity to decide whether they want information about their loved ones made public. And then that notion of making people more than a statistic is an interesting one. Having that name kind of makes you realize that it was a person. Mary Teege's cousin, Ramona Wilson, was just 16 when she disappeared and her body was found west of Smithers. And every year her family holds the Ramona Wilson Walk in order to make sure she is a name and not just a statistic and just one of the many missing and murdered Indigenous women across Canada, and here's what she told me.
I do believe it is important, especially if the families are okay with it, if the families want that name to be known, because for us, for our family, when we lost our Ramona, definitely we wanted her to live like her. It's important that their memory live on to make sure this never happens to anybody else, and especially if the families want the names released.
Andrew, in this day and age, I mean, we have things like Facebook and social media, and I suppose if people want the information out there, they certainly can use those tools, can't they?
Well, I mean, for one thing, there's the reliability of social media. I mean, we certainly had experience. I mean, unfortunately, even just last night, there was a shooting in Dawson Creek, and you can go to these social media sites, and people are posting all sorts of speculation, but they're unconfirmed rumors, and you kind of want that official source as well. You want somebody like the police or the coroner's service. And I think you do want a journalist or somebody to be vetting that information as well. Also, going back to Marianne, whose sons were in the car crash, she says even though she wanted the information to be public in order to dispel these rumors, she didn't want to have to deal with it herself. She had four sons, two of them were killed, one was in the hospital, another one still needed looking after as well. And she says making that announcement on Facebook was not her first priority, so she was glad the police dealt with it for her. And as for journalists, it can be difficult to make those calls as well. Reaching out to an official spokesperson to confirm the identity of somebody who is deceased is easier than calling someone who's just lost a loved one and may or may not be prepared to deal with it. And I remember very clearly making one of those calls. It was February 2012, mm-hmm. and a family of four from Prince George had died in a highway collision. The father in that family was Matt Eltzer, an IT systems manager who worked at the Prince George Citizen newspaper. Colleen Sparrow is a publisher of the Citizen, and they were following the accident when she received a call from Matt's family.
And I just remember thinking, you've got to be kidding me. No, it can't be. And I had that, you know, it's that sinking feeling of knowing it, that something had gone terribly wrong, right?
But Colleen talked to her team at the Citizen. They decided to publish the fact that it was Matt on their website. And from there, other media started calling. That included me. And Colleen says it was all a bit much to take.
I'm glad I knew from the family that it wasn't a reporter phoning me, because I would have lost it, right? At least before I started speaking to, you know, media, period, which, you know, it wasn't just you. I was dealing with global. I was dealing with everybody wanting to speak with us. That's a hard position for you to be in, right? You know, there's a processing time. And honestly, when you guys were calling me, I was completely in shock still. It's overwhelming. I still hadn't had time to process it.
And that right there is, I mean, one of the things that I will say I fear in making those calls, that you might be reaching out to somebody too soon before they're ready to talk. And so I was actually really interested in asking Colleen, because, I mean, it had been published online by her paper. So asking her how she felt about receiving those calls.
Do I think there's value in it? Is that what you're asking me? I think that in certain situations there is. Yes. I think that having you guys release the information.